Jason, it's good to see you, and radio listeners, we're certainly glad you're here on this, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's Wednesday, it's April 25th, 2012, and Jason, if I was going to summarize last night's event at the Olive Garden restaurant, our final meet and greet, filled to overflowing. But I also know you had a great small group last night that were excited about, and you had a very filling and wonderful worship service on Sunday where people were blessed and encouraged, and wow. So before we talk about a few of those highlights, I want to announce a couple winners and a couple giveaways that we're going to do on Friday. So yesterday's Shrek winners, and Shrek is coming to the U of I Assembly Hall tomorrow. And we had two call-ins, both from Indiana. So Indiana. Jennifer Cunningham from Brazil, Indiana, called in. She was the morning winner. And then when the morning program re-aired in the evening, Heather Woodrum from Covington, Indiana. So way to go, guys. We're so glad you're a part of our radio listening family. And they'll be attending Shrek tomorrow at the U of I Assembly Hall. And tomorrow, Joey Kroll is tomorrow. On Friday, I'm going to be giving away a couple tickets to In the Heights, and that's another Broadway series coming on Sunday, May 6th to the U of I Assembly Hall. It's a very, I guess you would call it, family-friendly, Tony Award-winning, best musical. Is a moving, funny, and uplifting show about a community of hardworking immigrants seeking a better life and trying to find their place, their home, in their new country. And so we'll give away some tickets on Friday, so be listening. But filled to overflowing, maybe that's what I'm going to call this broadcast today, Jason, filled to overflowing, because what a phenomenal turnout to the Olive Garden. Jason, Jason Hodges, he's the, I guess, general manager of the Olive Garden. Mm-hmm. He was flying high. They had all their workers, extra staff on. We literally packed the restaurant. We had the whole half. You've been there a few times.
Yeah.
Jammed, the whole middle area jammed, and they were seating people on the other half.
Wow.
And so everyone was just in a celebratory kind of mood. I saw a lot of friends, and we're going to give away 7 gifts today because there were so many people that see that whole big pile of Voice of Listening Radio Survey? Unbelievable. So Stephen McCleary was there. Joey Kroll was going around recording testimonies by people. Nancy Miller, I'm telling you, she found her calling. It was meeting and greeting people. She went table to table, was giving Voice of Listener Radio surveys, encouraging people, making sure they were wearing their God Listens You Can Too sticker. Just an asset to this radio ministry. And people were saying, Nancy, we've been hearing your voice on the air. She's been doing some radio spots. She's going to be featured on Friday with a friend that came from China, and she's going to talk about how this friend, also called Nancy, we call her Z, came to know the Lord because of hospitality by Americans reaching out to her and witnessing and breaking bread and sharing their lives and nurturing her along as she was new into our country, not knowing any of the English language. So Nancy's going to share her friend Z with us on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Dr. Phoebe Lanier sang a number of gospel selections. What a powerful voice. And afterwards, she stayed around with us, and we had dinner after everyone. I guess by about 7 o'clock, 7:15, the people were finally, like, leaving. And so then we sat down and had dinner, and it was neat to get to know some of her story. And Nancy Miller stayed around, and Jim Miller and Joey Kroll, and we just had great conversations. Scott Waddle as Elvis and doing some of his regular songs. He's a great Elvis. Mm-hmm. They call it an Elvis tribute artist, and I didn't know that. You can't be, when people not mimic, what when people do, if the person's dead, you can't do a...
Well, yeah, I think when they're dead, doesn't have to be a tribute.
So what do they call it when you do somebody that's alive?
Like an impersonation?
Elvis impersonator. Yeah. When they're dead, you can't be an impersonator. Anyways, I learned that.
There's a lot of rules in this, isn't there?
Yeah, so I learned all that, but he did a great tribute and a number of his own selections. Jim Gunther and Stephen McCleary were backup voices. I think Lonnie Medlin, I was out of the room, but I think he joined in and sang along. Mm. And then Dina Mum did some poetry reading and had her books available in a greeting card line. But the filled to overflowing, so many great news radio listeners gathered. I was matchmaking, putting like this couple with this couple and these single people all together on this table, and over again, people just had a great, grand old time. And Thank you, God, for Jason Hodges at the Olive Garden Restaurant and all those that came out and filled out Voice Listener Radio surveys and picked up new and improved updated program guides, and just, it was wonderful. So, filled to overflowing.
Beautiful. Well, we have some prizes, don't we? Have to give away?
Let's give some prizes away.
All right. Do you have your drum roll?
I don't have the energy. I don't.
Come on.
You know, these waiters, how they make it. I was like there 5.5 hours or something. It's like, I'm exhausted. I'm still tired
today. Last week you told me, I just can't get that water out anymore, because I asked you why, if you got fired.
Yeah. And I didn't even wear my whole Olive Garden outfit or anything. I didn't have a tie on. I had a nice dress shirt and nice pants and all, but it's like when it was all over and I sat down, it's like, I'm tired. And people were already saying, are you going to continue this? Will you do this again? And I'm like, we're going to take a break for a while. As much as I enjoy it and love it, we're going to take a little break. But I did have an idea of, wouldn't it be neat to sometime have a meet and greet potluck where everyone brought their favorite potluck item, and we kind of coordinated into a really big church, a multi-purpose room, and had all these listeners bring their favorite
dishes. Your Baptist listenership just stood up.
Yeah. They're standing
They heard
at attention.
Potluck, and they said, a man after our own heart. So we have some prizes here.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a copy of Gary Chapman and Jennifer Thomas's The Five Love Languages of Apology, How to Experience Healing in All Your Relationships, to Pam Nave, and she's married to Bill, and they are out of Attica, Indiana.
Oh, great. Yeah, we had some people from Danville, from Indiana, from all throughout the East Central Illinois area. Like I said, we had, just 150 or so plus people all around that restaurant. It was fabulous.
Amazing. Kevin and Joanne Logston from Champaign, Illinois, they're going to win a Steve Green CD.
Excellent.
Here. Beautiful, beautiful. Lois and John Elder, they're in Champaign also. They're going to get the Gaither Vocal Band Reunited DVD.
They like their Southern Gospel.
Excellent. And let's see what we got here. Phil and Susan Wright from, I can't say this. This is Cayuga? Cayuga, Indiana. Songs of Truth and Freedom by Twyla Paris. God Shed His Grace. Excellent.
Yeah, I had so many different gifts in this prize cabinet. It's like, I got to give away some of these CDs and stuff from the Michael Card and, you know, Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson concert we had a few weeks ago.
Oh, no, this is a good one here. For Janine Keller, Ruth Graham's Fear Not, Tomorrow God Is Already There.
I met
Ruth Graham maybe a year ago. Love her. She's an amazing woman.
And I think that interview on that book is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Go to the 2011. It was maybe six or eight
months ago.
Did
you do the interview when she was here last year? Wasn't there a meal or something she
was
here for?
That was another different interview.
Okay.
I mean, we didn't interview for that. We just talked about it. But this was about a year and a half ago when she came out with that book, I think.
Okay. And then we've got Sharon and Don Plotner. They are in Champaign, Illinois, and they got the Gaither Vocal Band Reunited DVD. And then finally, you got to get the big drum roll.
Oh, yeah, the $25 gift card to the Olive Garden restaurant goes to...
Oh, boy, and it's a name that it's hard to pronounce. Steve Hollinger and Joy...
Boziak,
there you go.
Yeah, all right.
And they are out of Champaign. They get the $25 Olive Garden gift card. So
thanks for filling out those Voice of Listener Radio surveys, everyone. Karen's going to have a lot of work. Wait till she sees the stack. Her eyes are going to be popping up tomorrow, or today maybe, whenever I make it over there.
Nice.
So as I said, filled to overflowing, but I know that you had mentioned to me, you know, you and I text back and forth and email, and I don't have you on Haytel yet, but we do about every means and method of communicating to each other. But I know you had a real inspirational, kind of God-sighting-filled small group last night.
Yeah, it was really good. You know, and I won't say too much because we covet in our small group that's a safe place where people – and I would share this with and challenge people who are in small groups – that maybe sometimes you have to do it as a written one. Sometimes if you think people's hearts are good enough, you can just do it verbally. But we make people covenant when they come into a small group that it's a safe place where you can come in, you can share, you can be on the journey together, and whatever happens there, whatever's kind of said there, stays in that room. Because we want it to be a healing place. We want it to be a place you know, we talked about it tonight, that it was almost like Paul and Timothy in the room there together, you know, just downloading and sharing what's happened during the week and sharing in their struggles and their praises and that. But it was really just a deep time of praying, You know, we talked about the why question. You know, when you're struggling and things are really tough, and how you'll say, like, why, God, why is this happening? You know, and we talked about it as a group and just wrestled the fact that sometimes I think we let that why, the why, get so big that we allow it to be bigger than Jesus, you know, in our life at least. And you know, one person said, well, you know, I think that, you know, sometimes I don't know if I have the faith. And I said, I don't think it's that you don't have the faith, because you believe in Jesus. I know your heart. You love Jesus. I said, I think maybe it's your hope. You know, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, he says, faith, hope, and love. Now, there's a commentator, Ray Steadman, who writes some very kind of conversational commentary books on that. And in a book, I think it's called Letters to a Troubled Church, a commentary on 1 and 2 Corinthians, he says that of that verse there, he says that faith, hope, and love, that faith is your foundation, that hope is your orientation, and that love is your application.
Say that all again, because I want to process it myself, and I'm sure some of our listeners are driving along or might have been distracted, but I really like kind of where I think you're going to go with this.
Yeah, Paul says that faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And this commentator says that faith is your foundation. That hope is your orientation, and that love is your application. And see, oftentimes I think we have the faith. I mean, I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. I know who Jesus is. I love Jesus with my whole heart. But in this situation, maybe I'm struggling to realize that I have the hope that Jesus can actually carry me through it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes going, you know, Jesus, are you really going to help me out on this one? Because this one seems so tough. This one seems so hard. And so I don't think it's that we lack the faith. I think it's that we lack the hope. Because hope is our orientation. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, that great faith chapter, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, faith is being sure of what we hope for. So that's kind of an active outside of yourself and certain of what we don't see. What's interesting is that in the Hebrew, to hope for, that's the word tefillah. It's the same word that has to do with prayer. Prayer in Hebrew means to hope for. To hope for, if I pray for you, I'm hoping for you. I'm hoping that God will meet you in this struggle. You know, the problem is that sometimes we don't get what we hope for. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes maybe you're praying about something. You're saying, like, God, can you do this? And God's promise is that he'll meet you in that. He just may not meet you in that and give you what you want. He may not release you from what you're struggling with, or he may meet you in that and rebuke you for maybe what you're asking for. And maybe you're praying for a big four-wheel drive truck, and God's going, like, no, I really don't think that's what you need. You know, it's interesting. Somebody shared that they said that they were praying for a car and that God made provision for them to get a ride. And so God met them, and almost it was like a rebuke, but provision too. Well, you don't need a car. That's not what you need. But what you do need is you do need a way to get to there. And I'm going to provide that because I am the God of provision. But I think that that's interesting, that this hope is something that's kind of your orientation. And I think that oftentimes, and I hope I didn't rabbit trail too much there, but sometimes I think what happens is that we have the faith in Jesus, but we don't have the hope in Jesus. And so it was really a powerful conversation that kind of revolved around that, and then revolved around, I'll tell you what, myself as a pastor, other people in the room, how maybe we struggle with that. I mean, we love our small group. We get together, and I tell people the idea of our small group, we call it a community group because it's community. You know, we believe that what God is experiencing with the Holy Spirit and Jesus in triune community, that God pours out into authentic community. I mean, we laugh, we pray, we cry, we wrestle things down, we go in the Bible, we talk about our lives, we eat. I mean, it's just an amazing time of just being able to come together and share what the Lord has done in our lives and through our lives, and then wrestle that out. So we had it was a rich time of wrestling what that means, because each one of us have that. I mean, I think before the show today, I prayed and I said to you, you know, I think in the prayer I did, because it's been on my heart all day, is that Jesus came to set the captives free. And I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're the lay guy who empties the garbage in the church. I don't care if you're the Pope. You've got something that's captive that Jesus needs to set free. And you need to set your heart and hope on him so that that can be free. Because each one of us is captive to something.
I'm thinking with a couple things. With that, the faith. We have faith in the Lord Jesus. And sometimes maybe do we waffle? Because the hope could disappoint us, or we don't want to be hurt. We know God can do it, and yet we don't want to hope because maybe there's some hurt or emotions attached to that more than the faith could be intellectual. We know God is God. God is sovereign. We know he can do all things. There's no doubt. God is God. He can do all things. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. And yet that hope part, what's that word that you use? The hope is the
Hope is the orientation.
Orientation, and how that orientation, sometimes there's could be disappointment maybe.
Sure. You know what? How about this? If I'm praying for something, you know, maybe I'm praying for, you know, I'll use an example from a couple of years ago. We were journeying with a family, and their daughter was very sick. And we prayed like crazy for their daughter. And their daughter died. And the question of why became so huge in this family. So huge. This, why did this have to happen? We put all our hope in Jesus. Why did this have to happen? You know, and out of that, I lost touch with the family because we moved out here, but recently kind of reconnected via Facebook and that. And the dad shared with me, he said, out of this, our family became so tight. Our extended family that didn't really talk and didn't really know each other came in and during this time and supported us and then never left. Became so tight. He goes, my family is a different family today. You know what? God did heal that family. Mm-hmm. Just not the way we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I'm a dad. I mean, I've got an 8-month-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-year-old. I've got three reasons to know exactly how that family feels and to know exactly what it might look like to lose hope if I was to lose one of those. But you know what? God, the healing you prayed for, God did do it. He just didn't do what you thought he was going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, oh, far be it from me. God has such a long view on things that I can't even see. I mean, God brought back a whole family together. You know, do I mourn the loss of that little girl? I do. I mourn her with my whole heart. But do I also know that she was loved by Jesus and that she sits right now next to Jesus in that throne room, that she's in her glorified body? She's experiencing a future glory Sometimes I go, man, God, I can't wait till that moment when I get to see what that's like, when I get to know what good is like. I mean, like Paul says, the Apostle Paul, he goes, you know what, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, but God healed that family. You know, God didn't leave them. God didn't forsake them. God didn't sell them short. God actually met them in their need, and he brought healing. But their hope took a beating.
Yeah. And thank you that God has that eternal perspective and knows the beginning from the end and all of creation. And he knows where we're headed and the eternity that lays before us. And, you know, not to minimize any of that struggle or heartache or disappointment, but because of God's character and his goodness and who he is, we can place our faith and hope and trust in him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes I think that you know, you said earlier, you said, hey, you know what? God is sovereign. And sometimes I think that we forget that.
Yeah.
I mean, we forget how big God is. Sometimes we equate God with the size of our circumstances. And we go, well, God, you know, God, you're going to have to get bigger because this is a really big problem.
Yeah.
And God is going like, I'm already huge.
Yeah.
Like I can already do, you know, I think I tweeted it today. I said, when the Bible says all things, it means all things.
Yeah.
Don't sell God short.
Yeah.
And that's just it. When Psalm 24:1 that says the earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord, that's everything. Don't try and say, well, you know what, this over here is a little more spiritual than this over here. No, God is in all of it. God is in everything. And the only reason you don't see God is because you're not letting him be in it. You're not turning and fixing your gaze on it. I mean, we've been following in our church the book of Philippians, and we're in just that amazing third chapter, you know, where Paul talks about pressing into Jesus. He says, not that I have already attained this. You know, he says, but I do that one thing. And that one thing he's talking about is pressing into Jesus, pursuing Jesus with his whole heart and his whole mind. You know what I found fabulous about that, and I talked about it on Sunday morning, is I looked for that phrase again, because Paul says that, but I do one thing. And I said, well, where's that one thing at in the Bible? Well, it's in Luke chapter 18 when the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he says, hey, good teacher, what is it that I can do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, there's a list of 10 things you need to do, or even, you know, they were good Torah observant Jews, so Jesus didn't go, well, there's a list of 613 things you need to do. Jesus goes, one thing you lack. And he goes and he says, sell all your stuff. Get rid of all that stuff that is between me and you. Because what's happened is you've put all that stuff there. And we talked about this earlier. I talked about this, is that in our group, is it that for that rich young ruler, that stuff was all his possessions. But you know what? For some of us, that's the baggage and garbage that's inside of our heart. That's the stuff that we've got to get out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you need to get your best friend or the person who you're journeying with Jesus, you know, that person, maybe your Timothy kind of person that you've got in your life, and take the trash out. You know, pull them close and say, you know what? I got some junk in my heart that's between me and Jesus, and I need you to help me take the garbage out. Get a cup of coffee, sit down together, and just begin to pour that stuff out. Because Jesus doesn't want there to be anything between you and him.
Yeah.
He wants to be the one thing, that one thing that you put all your hope into. So today, if you haven't done that, take that step forward. Take the trash out and make Jesus the one thing.
The one thing. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.